Arnold Isley. Hey, coming up in just a few short minutes, you know what? The Soul Savvy Show, your host Q Lynn Green and William A. Brown. We'll be by and just hanging out with you for a while, but you definitely want to check out this show. The Soul Savvy Show coming up in just a few minutes. It's off the chain. Matter of fact, it's hilarious. Hey, stay tuned. How about a little champagne? How about us? This is Studio W The Buzz. Real good. That's real good. Hey, stay tuned for the Soul Savvy Show coming up shortly. Q Lynn Green, she's just getting all set up. But I promise you, stay tuned to The Buzz 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't want to miss this show. The Soul 70s Show coming up, starring Q Lynn Green.
Just keep they do. They smile in your face all the time. They wanna take your place. The backstabbers.
Smile in your face. Hey, everyone, welcome to the Soul 70 Show with your host and star, Q Lynn Green. Right after this song, we'll be right back. You don't want to miss this. In the meantime, you do have time. Call your friends. Download that app, IMG2, or go to our website, studiow.buzz. Welcome to the Soul 70 Show with your host, Q Lynn Green, and I'm her sidekick. I'm William. Hey, Q Lynn.
Hey, Will, what's going on?
Man, you know what's going on. This song right there, you know, if you don't get up and want to do something, you know, it kind of gets you motivated a little bit. So I'm so happy you started off with that. My. Toni Braxton. My goodness. And Babyface, right? Oh, my yeah. goodness. Hey, that thing was incredible. I think I'm going to have to go on and put that on my regular lineup. Good. I was jamming here. You know, I do this often. You know, I jam right in the studio while I'm having fun doing this thing here.
Hilarious.
Yep, absolutely.
Before we even get started, we got a special guest on. I've been saying it all day on social media yesterday. Special guest. If y'all think I know about music, this guy here, I've been following him, I think, for a while now on Twitter, and he just be dropping gems. All kind of musical gems. So I call him a young. You call me a music historian. He's a music historian because he knows a whole lot about music. So I'm gonna introduce the great host of the former show Feels Like Real Music podcast, EB. How you doing?
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm great.
EB, what's going on?
Yeah,
I'm
and the reason why. yeah, I told him Will. The reason why I play that song, because throughout the show, we're celebrating Black Music Month all this show. I know I got a couple emails saying we need to play more music. So we're going to be playing a lot of music on the show. I just skipped the whole Savvy News. We're just going to talk about music the whole show, because that's what people like. I don't know why they want to hear me talk about music the whole show, but we're going to do it today. We're going to break down a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to talk. First, we're going to start off with talking about influential and record labels that were impacted music culture, all kind of stuff. Record labels like LaFace, record labels like Uptown. And I'm gonna let EB take that over. Then also later on in the show, we're gonna be listing the top 10 best male and female singers. And then also we're gonna give homage to background singers and talk about our favorite background singers. And also we're gonna talk about the top worst singers, because I got a whole lot of them. I think I got more than 10. I should make it 20 because I got more than 10. So that's what we're going to be talking about throughout the show. And so I want to talk about LaFace, and we're just going to get straight to it and talk about LaFace and the impact L.A. Reid and Babyface made in R&B music during that time period. And I know you know a whole lot about that. So if you can, well, we can start with Uptown. I think that'd be better because I feel like, didn't they come before them?
Yeah, Uptown came first.
Yeah, so you can break that whole thing down if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, basically Uptown came and they were like the Motown of the late 80s and the early 90s. They came through Andre Harrell, the man. Genius had this plan to build this label around first hip hop, because that's what was going at the time. Then he realized that I can't just do hip hop, because that's the downfall, or has been the downfall of so many labels, is they box themselves in to only cater to one type of music or one genre or one specific fan base. So, you know, him and Teddy Riley did their thing, and basically, Uptown is the reason that we had New Jack Swing. And from there, New Jack Swing took over R&B. I mean, it wasn't anybody who wasn't doing a New Jack Swing record. It was like disco. And New Jack Swing only really lasted but 4 years. It was like a 4-year time period that was really big. After that, again, him being innovative, Hip Hop Soul was born with Mary J. Blige. And that is basically the foundation of what we are all still listening to, is Hip Hop Soul. You know, the hip hop merged with the soul and the R&B and the sampling. That all came from Uptown.
Yeah. And to me, I like hearing all the backstories to them and how all these artists met and like how they all came together. And to me, I feel like you said, I agree with everything that you said. Uptown to me was just the imprint. I feel like that like you said, the merging of the start of New Jack Swing. But Teddy Riley, man, I wonder how he got around. What was it? What were they called? MCA Records? how he was like a part of all that. Like, he got with all those different groups and artists, with Heavy D, with he was with Kumo D, everybody. Like, he was like all across that. He was like the hottest producer there. That was crazy.
Yeah, Teddy, his I think when he hit, everybody wanted to work with him because you wanted to have the hottest record, you wanted the radio play, and you wanted the chart. And whatever he did in the studio, you know, in the background, it was working. I mean, every New Jack Swing took over, like I say, almost like the way disco took over, it killed a lot of careers because people couldn't keep up, or there were a lot of people who tried to duplicate what Teddy was doing in his sound, and they just couldn't do it.
Right, and Uptown Records, what did you think about, I was going to ask you, what did you think about that little docu-series they did on BET about Uptown? Did you think it was authentic enough, or do you think they needed a little bit more, like an hour or two to talk about everything?
Yeah, I thought it was nice, but I definitely thought they needed a lot more time. I mean, Uptown is a label that has given us two genres of music, and they also branched off and were doing television and film production. So there's a lot there that they just couldn't get into because of the time. And I almost wanted it to be like one of those things where BET just needs to create a docuseries on these different labels or these different music producers and things like that. But I don't know. It hasn't happened yet. I'm hoping that it'll be something like what TV One does with Unsung, but actually focus on these labels, because, like you said, the stories behind how most of these people met and became big, or even behind how some of these biggest hits were written or produced or recorded, those, to me, that's like the most interesting part of the music right there.
Yeah, and then we can't forget about Puffy. The Take That King, he came from there. Style brought style to it as well. Andre Harrell, he's a great multitasker because he's also played in his team is playing in the championship tonight, Golden State. He's been leading them throughout the whole playoffs because Andre Harrell looks like Mike Brown. So he looks like Mike Brown to me. So yeah, he's a great multitasker. And so yeah, I just love that whole era of like Uptown. I know before that, I guess we can go a little bit back to Motown as well as Berry Gordy. My imagery of him is just like somebody that just cared about the record sales, and he didn't really care about, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to, my perspective on him is a little different. It's like he just cared about making hit records, and because he was really trying to pass on the Marvin Gaye What's Going On album.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it happens with a lot of the heads of these labels that their main focus is charting and selling. And one of the things I always say, is specifically when it comes to black music, is our downfall will always be trying to market ourselves to everyone else, or trying to chart, or trying to have the hottest pop records, because you want everybody to listen to it, and obviously you want to make money, but at the same time, there's some great music that has been produced or is being produced. A lot of albums that have been shelved because these heads of these labels, like you said, he wanted to pass on Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. Like, that's a classic. That album is solidified into the R&B Hall of Fame forever and ever. He was definitely, Berry Gordy, one of those people who, you know, dollar signs, that's all he saw.
Right. And then, to me, I guess, looking at record labels from back then, I feel like they all had to do, it was certain eras to where it was, I feel like the 70s was the one where you had to have a great band. I feel like the musicianship was like the focus. Like, 60s was more doo-wop, like more of a quartet, like gospel, because most of those groups came from church. And so 50s, 60s was more of like doo-wop. And then 70s, that's when that funk hit. And then you had James Brown, like the JBs and, you know, all these great musicians. And then those musicians getting with other musicians, that whole Cleveland style, the Detroit style, the Chicago style, Philly, Gamble and Huff getting all these different great musicians together, you know, horn section, all that stuff. And I feel like drifting into the 80s when the technology started to get updated, and then you had Zapp and Roger create, you know, different sounds. Prince comes in with different, the V drum and all these different, technical sounds and, you know, given all that whole 80s, the 80s had its own sound. I feel like everybody had that sound with pop. It didn't matter if it was a pop record or R&B record. Everybody was trying to emulate whatever who was, like, if it was Michael Jackson or Prince, they were all trying to make their record sound like that. So I feel like it started drifting, you know, the more the groups, everybody was going solo. I feel like artists back then, they had to go through it like way worse than what these kids, I feel like they paved the way for all these easy, you know, just easy access to everything now, you know, in terms of how they create, you know, cause a lot of them, they had to like camp out at studios and stuff like that to even get a session. And then now, you know, all you gotta do is pay a certain rate and you in there.
And that's it. I mean, today, I mean, people recording entire albums in their basements and bedrooms. I mean,
right.
Back then you had to want it. It was a drive that you had to have. And like a lot of the people, if you talk to a lot of the groups from Motown, these people first camped out at the Motown office singing every day just for Berry Gordy to even acknowledge them. And then once they got signed, it was like, you know, the battle of who can get in the studio first or who can have the first hit. Basically, that's what it was. Once you have that first hit, then the label seems to be more willing to spend a little more money on producers or add in the live band or, you know, give you more studio time. But you had to, you had to get that first hit.
Yeah, and the most underrated, the unappreciated, I still feel, is the musicians and the background singers. And we're going to transition from that to background singers. It's like so many, I feel like the best records, I don't care what era it comes from, has great background vocals. You can't find one that doesn't have it on there.
Nope.
If you name your favorite artist, it has great background vocals. Either they're double stacking on the, overstacking on the vocals, or they'll have a couple in there, real good ones. Like, I had a, who's your top favorite background singers?
Top favorite, man. Currently, it's people like, Karen Bernard and Audrey Wheeler, who has sang on almost everything. Audrey sings on everything, but people don't know, you know, who she is, or people don't know her name. And then you got the people like in the 90s, Kelly Price was killing it. Kelly Price and Faith.
Oh, man, killing it.
On everything. They were killing on everything. And what sucks for Kelly is a lot of people, you know, you heard her voice, but you didn't know who she was. But she was on everything.
Right.
She made a lot of those songs hits, like you said. You can think of all the hits, they all have amazing background vocals. Even if the lead vocals, especially if you go back to the 80s, even if the lead vocals were some trash, the background had to be killing it. Because you had to have that background. You had to have, you know, that sound behind you to sell those albums.
Yeah, even I think Stevie Wonder had the best. He always had the best background singers. I remember, and what's cool about that, I love the artists that are already established and they still do background vocals. Like when Mariah Carey was popping, she was still doing background stuff with Babyface. And Babyface, he's always like, I think a recent album, I think with Anthony Hamilton, not the last one, but the one before, he was doing background vocals on one of his songs. And Stevie Wonder, I think it's the Hotter Than July album. He had Betty Wright, Eddie LaVert, Michael Jackson all on one record doing background.
All on one record,
Yeah, and I'm like, who does that? Like you, and it's also respect as well for that artist just to do that. You know what I mean? The humility in that, just to get on it. I just love, and I think that's coming back as well because Tweet was doing background on Solange's. I think she did it on one song on the her latest album, Solange's latest album, A Seat at the Table, she did a song on that, and she killed it. I think it was Mad. I think she did vocals on that one. And then who else? Even Tyrese's dumbass, he got, you know, he had Tank and, what's her name, Jennifer Hudson.
On
Shame, and that was it. Right.
And amazing. I mean, I remember when I found out that was her. But, you know, I'm hearing this voice, and I'm like, whoever's
on
that,
I thought it was a sample. Right. It was real good.
Okay. And I see the video, and she actually went to the and did the video, and I was like, wow. I think that's something that's coming back in music, and I'm glad it is.
Right.
Where these
artists
get together and work together, even though they've already, you know, established or sold however many thousands or millions of records. A lot of these people kind of bump into each other in the studio, which is crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you work in Studio One and somebody down in Studio Six, and you walking down the hall, and they're like, oh, come listen to my session. And they're like, oh, let me get on the background. Like, that kind of stuff don't really happen.
Right, exactly. And I think with that whole era with Questlove and with Common, when they were used to do, what was that? I forgot the name of that label, that studio.
Like the Soul Aquarians?
The Soul Aquarians. When they were all, like, they would say they would just go from different studio A to B to C, just all different, and just do stuff on there. Just get on people's records that was cutting in, or just jam the whole time. But, yeah, I think my favorite background singers is Tata Vega. Man, her voice is crazy.
Classic.
And Vesta Williams on Chaka Khan's records, and singing background on live recordings. Lisa Fisher.
Who else? Probably one of the best ones ever. Lisa Fisher is probably.
And she's sung background for so many, like, iconic people, with Luther Vandross, Rolling Stones ain't really, I don't really care for them, but that's a good look for her to even get because Mick Jagger act like he on coke all day, every day. Like, he on everything. I don't know what's up with that dude, but I don't really care for him. He wanna be black so bad. He wanna know how to dance so bad. Every time I see a recording of him, he just be jumping around. I'm like, will somebody calm him down, give him a volume or something? He's just hopping around on stage. I guess he's a legend. He ain't no legend to me, but I mean, he ain't for me, I guess I should say. But yeah, who else? Anthony Hamilton on D'Angelo Records. Man.
Yep.
He's crazy. I got somebody on Twitter, I think last year, somebody had some music website. I still have these music tracks of like him doing like rehearsals in like 98. I still listen to him like every day. They're so good. Like he mixed, I think D'Angelo did Lady. Wait, no, what was it? It was Brown Sugar, and he did like the little outro from A Tribe Called Quest. I forgot the name of it, but it was so dope, the bass line from it. But yeah, Anthony Hamilton is killing vocals on that. I could hear him on all those records. And
yeah, he has
Dave Hollister,
a really distinct voice.
Right. And Dave Hollister on Glenn Jones records. Those are dope. Right. And who else? Oh yeah, Missy Elliott. She got the baddest. She's so slept on. I gotta do a whole appreciation. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna write it or if I'm gonna do it on the show, but we gotta do a whole appreciation of Missy Elliott, cause she's been killing background vocals since 97. Maybe longer than that. But
her
background vocals is crazy.
She's killing. Yep. Always. Ooh. And you can always be on the background.
Right. Well, what's your favorite? Who's your favorite background singer? Do you pay attention to that?
Wow, you know what? You just caught me off guard because I've been so excited and interested in what you guys were just saying. I mean, you just gave me some history lessons, and I'm older than you guys are, and I'm a music enthusiast and music lover. So I'm just enjoying this interview. As far as background is concerned, I can't give you an answer right now because I just hope the audience around the world are enjoying you guys. This is extremely important show, especially if you're into black music and black history and things of that nature. But I'm gonna ask a few questions to you and your special guest there. Thank you so much. You know, earlier today I was playing some Nina Simone and Etta James, you know, and then I had to play some Ray Charles, you know, What I Say, you know, going all the way back, Marvin Gaye, Temptations, Smokey Robinson, Teddy. And the reason why I'm just naming off these things is because, you know, a lot of us have missed the type of music and the quality of music that came out of the 60s and the 70s when these guys didn't have all of this digital recording, right? And we know we can digitize a lot of things to make them sound a lot better, but if you're live there in studio or in set right there, you recording, and these cats were mean. And we're thinking, can it ever get back that way? So my question to both of you, do you think that it's coming back in that direction? Because there's some great music out right now. But you think we can get back to that says, well, yeah, our music is really, really back.
I think so. I think what made it special back, like you said, in the 60s and the 70s was, if you recorded an album, you had to advertise, and really, there wasn't social media. We didn't have, you know, music videos. So the only way to do that was to tour. So you actually had to have that talent, and you actually had to have good musicians behind you to tour, because that's what was going to sell your album. I think now we're getting back to a point where people aren't buying albums anymore, so artists aren't making that same money that they were making in the 80s and 90s. So the way for them to make that money now is touring. And a lot of these artists coming out now, they haven't done a whole bunch of the big national or the big international tours, but they definitely tour. And I think you can always hear that desire to make music and not only, sell albums, but make music that impacts people, with a lot of people in the 70s and the 60s. And that same desire and passion, I think, has kind of made its way back into R&B music, where people want to bring that type of nostalgia back. Like, they want people to feel their album. They don't want you to just buy the album. They put, their energy and their love into their album. It's something that the artist back in the day definitely did, like you said, all the greats, Patti Pendergrasses and Stevie Wonders and, Aretha Franklin. But now I think we went through a period, especially in the 90s, where everything was it was more image than anything. And I think that's what took a lot of that real artistry out.
Right, right. You mean, the bling factor. You know, you said something, and Kulin, I'll just leave you alone for a second here, but I have to say this. And Kulin, I know you heard, when I did that interview with Martha High, who was a background singer for James Brown for 32 years up until he passed, right? And she even left Maceo. Now, you guys remember, you guys already know, because I know you know.
I already told you my love for Maceo Parker, man. Let me get me started on that. You ain't ready for it.
Yes, we are ready for it.
Maceo Parker.
Okay, Kulin, don't hold back. I haven't known you to hold back yet, so anyway, that's not an issue here. But anyway, I remember I saw James Brown several times in concert, right? And I'm talking about the sweat. He gave you a concert. A lot of the artists back there, they gave you everything. I mean, they would come out and they would be dressed, right? I mean, they would be dressed tuxedos or whatever it was, right? But, sometimes they had to change because they sweat, and they gave you everything they got. And so some of that was missing, when you're going into the 80s and the 90s, right? When it was more of a bling factor to me, who can out, bling the other, right, instead of giving you the quality that we're speaking of.
But that was 70s. That started with those girl groups, the Supremes. Everybody had on that stuff. And then getting into the 80s, that was the thing. You had to have Jerry Curl, and they had full-on makeup.
Yeah, but
they had all those different. They had right. That started for them. If you gonna go there, you gotta talk about them in those fashions, because they had the same thing going on.
Okay, I'm talking about bling without the performance. We're talking about two different things. What I'm saying is that I think that the artists then, they were original. They had to do it right out of the studio. It wasn't digital. Yeah,
right.
They started, whatever fashion it is, But I'm talking about bling without the talent. I mean, that's where we were lacking some things.
That's interesting. I have to think on that a little bit, because I feel like it came from that. They got that stuff from those groups, and then when hip hop came, you LL Cool J, the Kumo D's, they came with the bling and all that. That was, you know, it's a whole thing to it. But I think getting into the bling, I still feel like the era was still good. I just feel as though once it was a lot of head labels. I feel like where it ended was a lot of these record labels were getting fired, or they were either leaving to join some other label to do something different. Like with L.A. Reid, I read his book and how he left LaFace. He went to Arista, and that whole situation. You know, a lot of those labels that was black owned, so he was getting a lot of black talent out there. You know, from Atlanta. You know, TLC, Tony Braxton. You know, a whole lot of those people. So it started to shift, and then the focus started to be on, okay, most of the 90s records were pop records still, but they were trying to, where it's at right now, everybody's trying to be a pop artist now. Nobody is just making it just to make it. They're just trying to get a pop record. And in terms of mainstream, I feel like it's getting better lyric-wise, but it used to be, it was a certain era. I feel like music changes every 5 years, so it was like a drought for like, I think the early 2000s, to where I don't feel like it was like really any good solo singers out there. And then groups were like, people were going solo, like, you know, early 2000s. And then it was just this whole era of dance music came in, and it just was just crappy. Crap music for like a good 5 years. But I feel like it's all coming back around now. But yeah, Eric said, I love that, background singers are like, that's coming a thing, and musicians are coming back, and R&B. So, yeah, if you want to, you can play the next record, and then we go to break.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, and I agree with you, and that's kind of what I was trying to say, and I agree with you 100%. I've got Lisa Fisher coming up. How can I ease the pain? Hey, this is the Soul Savage Show. Kulin Green, a special guest. Thank you so much for your knowledge, and my goodness, we're enjoying this. This is Studio W. Stay tuned. Wow. 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 Q-Lynn, that is another mean one. That is a, you know, it's not bad. It is mean.
I love that going into that bridge when she just, like, she thinks the song is over with and then she just goes up another octave. I'm like, whoa.
Good Lord.
I remember that song specifically. I used to have that song on cassette tape. That's how much I, man, that song is crazy.
Hey, you know, I want to thank you so much. You just gave me another one to put on my playlist on my rotation here. That is.
I forgot what version that is. Was that the acapella version? Because I didn't hear the.
No, that was live.
Oh, it was live.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can't tell. Yeah, it was a little staticky. I couldn't tell, but yeah.
Oh.
I liked the album version. That was cool too. But yeah, I like the album version because
You know what? As a matter of fact, what I just heard, I'll take any version. Good Lord.
Right.
Hey, look, and I have a question. Hey, I have a question for EB, if it's okay. And Q-Lynn, and actually, both of you, I'd like for both of you to answer this question because, you know, I love music, been around for a while, and obviously, you know, with the station, and we play a lot of music, a lot of great, great programs. Now, before I go further, Q-Lynn, I must do this. We have a brand new show coming up Monday. And she's probably listening right now. I know she's following you on whatever podcast or Facebook Live or whatever it is. And she, perhaps maybe listen to the show. That's Makala Link Brown. Now she has a brand new show. Well, it's not brand new, but it's brand new to the buzz. And it's all about life. All about life show. And it's
She was just on, when I was on Facebook Live, shout out to the people that was on. I was trying to get on there earlier, but I just got to this hotel room and I was like, it was busy on the interstate, so I was trying to hurry up to get here. But yeah, I was on, I think, Facebook Live for like 15 minutes. There was a lot of people getting on, but I had to get off because you told me to promote the show and I was like trying to hurry up and do that, but it was starting to get fun. Yeah, she was on there earlier telling me about the show and then she posted about it. So yeah, shout out to her for her new show. Well, not new like you said, but shout out to her for getting a spot on Studio W Buzz.
Yes, we're going to welcome that because she's going to air just before the Winter Harris show. Just before the Winter Harris show, now you know as well because you are great friends and an avid listener to Winter Harris. Winter Harris starts at 6:30 p.m. here on the West Coast, 7:30 Central Time. No, that's 8:30 Central Time Zone, right? And 9:30 on the East. And Macaulay is going to start at 5:30 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, 8:30 on the East, right?
So. What that translates to is that they do quality programming, and I'm like the heathen of the network. Like, yeah. I think I'm the only one. I'm trying to behave now because you company. But you already know how I am on Twitter. Sometimes I get on there and say crazy stuff. I'm a heathen on the network. I think I'm maybe the second or third person that cusses on here. He wants to keep it clean for syndication, but I'm like, sometimes it just comes out. So.
No, you know, it's a toss-up between you and T-Air. Yes, EB, I tell you what, I have to contain those two. But you know, I tell you what, I love.
You have to get me under control because I just go off the hand sometimes.
I have to pray sometimes because I love her. I love her and I love T-Air, but those two rebels, I have to kind of rein them in a little bit because they can get kind of.
I was going to ask Eric a question. I know you do this quite often on Twitter. What is it? I don't know all the details on this, so can you inform me on your love or dislike of Beyonce? I want to know the story behind that.
Okay.
It's hilarious. I love it on the internet, but I don't know the backstory to it, so what's up with that? That's what I want to know.
Okay, Eric, before you answer that. Okay, I tell you what, or do this, okay, because I want to know something about both of you, Q-Lynn. Because both of you have great knowledge in music. Great knowledge. Where did it come from? Where did your interest come from? Where did it take you and where has positioned you?
I guess we can start with that and then I want to know the backstory on that.
Okay. So, I know you're nosy.
That's what I was going to ask you. How'd you get into music? And I was going to ask you, do you play music? Cause you have a great ear for music.
No, I play cello, so that's the only instrument I play. I sing as well, but Oh, wow. My love for music, actually, it came from my home. My grandfather, I was raised with my grandparents, and my grandfather owned every Motown album, every Stax album, every Philadelphia International album. I'm talking like stacks and stacks of albums. And when I was younger, and all the other kids are outside playing or doing whatever, I'm sitting by the record player, literally going album to album, reading the liner notes, seeing who's singing on what, who's playing what instrument. You know, that was like basically the foundation for my love of music, and it just kind of grown. It's grown over the years to where now I kind of sometimes feel like I eat, breathe, and think music 24 hours a day.
And you know what? You sound just like a musician, because that's how we do. We just sit and just encompass music all day, and then we just, and that's how we get better. We just become students. The good musicians, great musicians, I should say, they just sit there and absorb so much music. And I remember when I was getting into, I started playing the drums first, like in, I think it was like 98 when I started playing. I was like a young kid. And then I kind of grew out of it a little bit. And then I would play it on and off, but I wasn't consistent enough. And then just randomly, I just started playing the piano. And I was like, hey, I'll take piano lessons. And then it just burst into that, to my friends getting me gigs and stuff, doing tours, and then just random backing musician stuff. And then I just got to a phase of where I would just sit and listen to music. Like, I remember my first time ever, Prince, when I started playing the piano, I started playing back in church. I think I told this story before on here. And I was so new to it. I've been classically in a jazz trained, and I would just read music. I didn't know how to, because gospel, you just play by ear in the church. You don't really read music. Like they have the hymn books, but most of the time they just go by ear. And so I had never played by ear before. So it's like four or five piece, you know, band in church. And I'm just sitting there like absorbing all these different, I have to be in sync with everybody. We have to be in tune with what the bass is doing, with what the drum is doing, what the guitar is doing. Everybody's doing their own thing. So I had to make that make sense. And when I was playing the chords, it's pretty simple. It's like, I started connecting the dots, like, oh, this is jazz. Like, this is sort of jazzy a little bit. It was some songs that sounded jazz, and then some of them that sounded like blues. I'm like, oh, this chord structure is like blues, like it's R&B. And then I would listen to Prince, and then it started clicking. I'm like, oh, this is what this is. Like, because he would put, and it was his birthday, the 7th. I can't even get into it. I told you I got to do like a whole nother hour on Prince. We didn't get to do it on the last show, but one show, we just going to do a whole hour on Prince, because I got to break it down. But, yeah, Prince made me understand music, and I would just sit in church and play Prince all day. Like, people think I'd be lying. I used to play Erotic City, Scandalous, like, all the time during offerings. And it was natural for me to do that, because it sounded like gospel music to me.
Yep.
I don't know why, but, yeah, it was just playing stuff like that. I would play Stevie Wonder. I would go all the way left and play Too Short, UGK, because they would sample, like, old soul records. So they would sample, like, the Spinners and all that stuff. So all that stuff, that's how I connected with music, and that's how I learned about music. But, yeah, I guess we could get into the top 10 best female and male singers. I guess we go with the females first. I have my 10 list. Oh, I guess I forgot to ask you. I almost let you get away with this. What is up with you and
Beyonce?
Beyonce. What's up with that?
It's several factors to it. Number one, Beyonce has an amazing voice. Like, out of, you know, all of the younger singers who've come out, her voice is by far one of the best. But I don't feel that she makes quality music. And a lot of it is frustration. It's, you know, frustration that you have this amazing voice, like, and everything is bubblegum pop. And nothing is real. It's not your real lived experience. Everything is, it's almost like, you know, she's putting out, which she does, because that's how she was raised and how she, you know, came in the industry, this image or this false perception of who she is. I can't feel her music because we don't know who she is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because that's how I felt. it wasn't until the 4 album that's when I changed my mind, because it was her first R&B album, to where I felt like it was, I could play it all the way through, and the songs had like great lyrics on it. Like, it was the first one, like 1+1, I love that, the lyrics in that, what else, Love on Top,
mm-hmm.
It's some more songs on it, but that was, and it's confusing to me, that the Beehive or wherever, the Bee Stands, they don't like, that's not their favorite album. I'm like, that's her best album, and they rank every album besides that one. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all?
And that's another one of my problems. It's less her, it's her fans, because I feel that...
Oh, yeah.
As somebody who is a fan of music, and, you know, all of my favorite artists, they've taught me, like you were saying earlier, you listen to certain people and you learn things about music. All of my favorites, I've learned, they have, like, this knowledge and this history of music, and they would teach me things. I feel like, as an artist, it's kind of part of your responsibility, and that's something that she hasn't done or maybe can't do because her fans, they won't appreciate. Like, if she made the kind of music I wanted her to make, she wouldn't have any fans. I don't think she would.
I think she's progressing to that, because when I heard Lemonade, I didn't want to review that album. Shout out to the Bee Stands, because they're going to be a lot of hits on the website of that album. Shout out to them for that. Y'all had me eating real good that month. Thank y'all for that. But that album, I think more of her artistry, I think she's like more visual than trying to put it. I think she has a hard time expressing that in lyrics. I think she does it more visually. I feel like her visual art is on point in terms of if it matched the lyrics, it would be dope, but when I saw the HBO of the album, when it was on HBO, the album, I was like, this is such a great concept album, but lyrically, it doesn't match, but it does at the same time, because it kind of, it all falls in line. It's like telling a story through the whole thing, but I feel like she just has a hard time, like, putting that in lyrics, and she's more a genius when it comes to visual art in terms of the history and really making, you know, she made an album for Black women, and I got the concept immediately. I'm like, oh, this is Black women making how we have to make lemonade out of lemons. Like, I get it.
Right.
This is a great concept. But I feel like she has a few songs on there that, like, Freedom with Kendrick Lamar. I love the different versatility within the records. But I get what you're saying. I 100% agree. But I feel like hopefully she'll progress to making better lyrics. Like, you know, and hopefully, I mean, she got, like, freaking billions of fans, so they should rock with it. I don't think she'll lose any fans if she got more into the creativity of the lyrics. But, yeah, I get you. I just didn't understand the backstory, because you'd be on Twitter, like, exit high out of every picture. And I'd be sitting there, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why do you keep doing that? I'm like, I'd be sitting there looking on Twitter. I'm like, what is wrong with him? Why do you keep doing that?
I'm ruined. I do it every day.
I want to know, else, like, how many Bee Stands, because do they get mad at you for that, or do they just let it go? They're like, oh, that's E.B. doing what he do, or do they get mad?
It's crazy, because I have a lot of her fans that actually follow me, and I asked a lot. I was like, I wonder why Beyonce fans follow me, because I rarely have good things to say about her. And the ones who do, their response is usually, well, that's annoying. We just ignore that. But you know a lot of people, so we like to see that. But then somebody will retweet something, and it'll get to, like, you know, the real fans. And, you know, I'll just have to, like, you know, mute my mentions for a while, and I'm good. Like, it doesn't bother me. But normally, nah, they don't really. I think they know that it's all jokes.
Man, I got something special for you going to break. With I got a Mary song, and this is an album cut, and I'm gonna see how much of a stan you are and how much you into the album cut of Mary J. Blige record. It's a real good record. But we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna get into this list before we go into break, the female list, and then I guess we get into the female singers list, and then when we come back, we get into the male list. The females, I have my 10 here. I don't know if Will got his. I've been asking him all week if he got his, but we're going to try to shoot through this fast, and then we can get to yours. Who wants to go first?
Regarding?
I said, as far as the top 10 female singers, who wants to go first?
I'm letting you guys go, and I'm deferring tonight. I'm just kicking back and enjoying the program.
I'll go.
Okay.
Here's mine. This is just me, like, in terms of vocal ability, just complete. This ain't about album sales or nothing. This is just my list of just my favorite singers, not a favorite about the albums and none of that. It's just about plain vocal ability. My 10 is not in no order. I'm just naming them off. Patti LaBelle, Chaka Khan. That's 2, 3, Toni Braxton, 4, Whitney Houston, 5, Nikki Howard, 6, Kelly Price, 7, Angela Winbush, 8, Mary J. Blige, 9, Melissa Morgan. Who else? I'm trying to think of somebody else. I had it in my head and I lost it. Who else? But that list right there, just vocals, period. Toni Braxton. We're just going to ignore that she's marrying a gargoyle right now or dating that. I don't know what he is because he looks awful. I don't know why she's doing this. She's kind of tarnishing her legacy a little bit. But we're going to go past that. Toni Braxton.
You're funny. No,
Q-Lynn. He's ugly. He's ugly. Period. I don't understand that.
Okay.
That didn't make any sense. I was watching Family Values, and he was on. He walk around with a guy that wipes his face. I'm like, what is going on? And he wear these long V-neck shirts. Like, what is he doing? You got to look like you're 8 months pregnant, and you got this open shirt on like you sexy. Put your looking like somebody's daddy. You know, put your clothes back on. But Toni Braxton. Oh, my God. Oh, Anita Baker. That's my 10 right there. Anita Baker. I knew it was going to come to me. Those are my 10. Toni Braxton, Chaka Khan, Patti LaBelle, Faith Evans, Whitney Houston, Mickey Howard, Regina Bell, Kelly Price, Angela Winbush, Mary J. Blige. Yeah, that's it. That's mine.
Okay, Evie, I'm going to let you go. I'm still deferring right here.
All right. Top 10, no order. It's all about the voice for me. Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. Mickey Howard, Chaka Khan, Mary J. Blige, Stephanie Mills, Rochelle Pharrell, Anita Baker, Karen Wheeler from Soul to Soul, Tawatha Aggie from M2MA, and Regina Bell.
Yes, your list is about as similar as mine, I think maybe one or two is off, but yeah, you definitely are. Toni Braxton, her voice is just like it's like Anita Baker had a baby and it came out Toni Braxton. Her voice had a baby and it was Toni Braxton because her voice is incredible. I love almost every Toni Braxton album. I think maybe the one she was trying to do like that EDM dance record, I wasn't really feeling that. But
yeah, I didn't. Feel
everything
that
straight R&B with like Rodney Jerkins and Babyface, I'm like, yeah, keep them on there. She got a Grammy for that last album. Like, keep him on deck all day. You're going to keep racking up in Grammys because don't try that dance stuff. Let your sister Trina do that. Stay in the R&B. Or you can do something with Michael McDonald or something like that. Their voices would sound good together. But, yeah, she's in Chaka Khan. I don't even, like, it's like some legends. It's like you just say their name and that should be it. Like, I don't even have to explain, like, how great Chaka Khan is. As long as she kept that this is where the heathen come out. As long as she kept that 8-ball cracking off, them records was coming out.
Listen,
she's popping them out. Her and Whitney and Mickey. That was, man, when I watched that Mickey Howard biopic last year, I didn't know that. Like, they was getting down. I was like, I enjoy that stuff like that. Like, people think that tarnishes their legacy when they bring. I'm like, I love stuff hearing stories like that. Mickey Howard and Chaka Khan getting down with the blow. I'm like, I love hearing stuff like that. Like, when I read the Rick Danes book, I was sitting there like, you don't know how crazy I went when I read the part in the book where he's saying that he used to sell coke to George Clinton. I was like, what? I'm like, that is amazing.
Yep.
That is black history right there. That is something you need to put in the history book. Put it there, like, George Clinton, and then Steven Tyler and all them that doing the coke. I'm like, that is great black history facts right there. I love stuff like that. But yeah, let me get off that for Will.
Okay.
I know, Will, turn the mic off.
You want my no, I didn't. No, I was just listening.
Turn it off.
Oh, no, I haven't. As a matter of fact, let me tell you some of my top 10, and I'm puzzled right now because there's an all time favorite female singer of mine that's no longer with us, and oh my God. And she had a range that's up there with Chaka Khan's, I mean, Mariah Carey. Think about who that was, right? But Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Okay, Chaka Khan, Angela Winbush, Anita Baker, Randy Crawford. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about Randy Crawford, but she has one of these rich, rich voices. I mean, it's just so unique, right? And it's in that, what, that like the alto range for a lady, and it is, wow, fantastic. Yep. Aretha Franklin, Tina Marie, Regina Bell, Toni Braxton.
Oh, I forgot about Tina Marie, yes.
Yeah, Tina's, oh, man.
Yeah, so that's it. But I'm still trying to. But there was a concert that I went to with George Benson. I'm trying to think of who she is. She passed away, breast cancer, many, many, many years ago, and I can hear a voice in my head, but I cannot come up with the name. And I was hoping that you historians could help me out. Oh my God, she had a range that was as high or higher than Mariah Carey.
Minnie Riperton.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's, good Lord.
Now, I didn't mention her, but when I listen to her songs, I have to be like closed doors, all the lights off, cause she, like her voice, like it makes me emotional when I hear it. So it's like, it's like so intimate, like the way she sings, and it's like, oh my God, I'm going through, so I just need to feel myself when I hear Minnie Riperton, cause her voice is incredible.
You know, EB and Q-Land, the thing about it was that I saw her live in a concert. It was her and George Benson, right? And George Benson was the headliner, but Minnie Riperton stole the show. And I really wasn't a fan of Minnie that much until I saw her live in person. That, it, to me, is the mark of a performer, a talent, you know, when they sound even better in person than they do on the album. And she stole it. It was just so incredible. I mean, one of those chilling performances, you know what I mean?
Right. If you want to, Will, like I said, this is an album cut. We'll get ready to play the song. This is from this is an album cut. Right
okay.
Here, so.
Hey, I got off of because I have another Mary J coming up that you requested at QLAN. And
yeah, this is the one I'm talking, the one I request, the one that I sent you. That's the one that I'm talking about.
You sent me two. Let's see what it is.
I sent you one. There we go.
Tonight could be the night. Don't rush it.
Welcome back to the Soul Savages Show with Q Lynn Green. She's your host and special guest, EB. Hey, a couple of great jams there, Q Lynn, again. Let's see, we had Mary J. Blige, Slow Down, and also the last couple that we had, Melissa Morgan, Do Me Baby. So anyway, a couple of things that I want to address before you guys take over. I'm not sure whether you addressed my question or not. I wanted to know what drives your passion, you EB and you Q Lynn, to do what you do, because you guys are great at what you do. In your own rights, you are music historians, you're musicians, artists, and just lovers of music. So I wanted you to tell the audience what drives your passions to do that and what inspires you to do so.
For me, it's definitely I feel like there's a disconnect with a lot of what's being put out now. And I like people to know the background. And my thing is like teaching people like little facts that they don't know about music, or where a certain sample may come from, or a certain singer may have gotten inspiration for this. I think that's something that has been lost in music. And I honestly just enjoy, you know, letting people know the history and the background about music.
Are you Q-Lan?
I do as well. It's, to me, it's that those two songs. It's, did you? I forgot to ask. Evie, was that the joint or not?
It's the joint. It, man, that song turns that.
You turned that up. Turn that up on the IMGT app. I turned it up. Those songs. That song and the Melissa Morgan, and shout out, it was Prince's birthday on the 7th. That's why I played that one. And I feel like that's the best, like any kind of Prince cover that she rendition, that is the best rendition ever. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's almost neck and neck with that Prince, with the original. Like,
yeah.
Dead Series. It's like right up there with it. Like, it's like neck and neck. It's like her ad-libs on there is so, oh my God. It's just like when I hear those songs, for me, my passion is, it immediately like transports me back to my childhood. And like with EB, I used to look at the liner notes and the credits. Like that was my thing. Like I used to go to the music store. It was a music store like right across the street from my school. And my dad would always give me, or whoever would give me, allowance. And every allowance, like every day school went out, I would go to the record store and I would buy cassette tapes, and I believe I had the Mary J. Blige, What's the 411? I think that might have been my third or fourth cassette tape. But I remember specifically like reading the liner notes on there and seeing the credits on there, like seeing Kenny Green's name on. Like,
yeah.
To me, he's one of my favorite. I was going to get into that later in the show about the best singers and groups. And Kenny Green is, and he was part of Intro. I believe he died some years ago. But he was one of my favorite vocalists, and I remember seeing his name on there and just different producers on Pete Rock's name on the remixes on side B. What y'all know about that on cassette tapes, side A and side B? The remix was on side B. Like, and stuff like that, like reading, it takes me back, hearing those songs take me back to childhood. And when I go on the website or wherever I go to and just put out whatever this history information, it's just my love from it, from childhood. And it just continues to, like, even with being a musician, I need both of those things. I need writing and playing the music, because when I listen to the music, it makes me want to play. And then when I'm writing, I'm like, man, this would be great to try to learn and, you know, try to play on the drums or the piano, wherever, whatever I want to play it on. I'm like, that's what fuels me. It just, like, takes me back. I try to take everything that those innocent moments from when I was a kid, and I would just look at the credits on records, and I still do that today. Like, and that, and Spotify makes me mad because they don't have credits on digital. That's one thing. I'm like, right. I need to campaign for that. Like, I need to get the credits on there so I can know who's on there. I hate, like, having to research that stuff. That, and, but yeah, stuff like that, you know, it gives me fuel to keep posting about albums, because I feel like R&B has been in on the rise for like 6 to 7 years now, but some people are lazy and they just want to say that R&B is dead, whatever, because they don't want to go look for it, because there's so many artists out there making great albums, like full albums. Like Avery Sunshine just dropped the album like last month, and it's amazing from like beginning to end, but people try to sleep on it. But then they get mad if Sam Smith makes an album and it does well, like Mary J. Blige to get on it, and they'll get mad saying, oh, they're pandering. I'm like, no, like, this is real, like, London artists, London people in general, UK. That's my biggest subscription to my website is people from the UK. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a website. It wouldn't be doing what it's doing now if it wasn't for people in the UK, because they have a love for it more than what the Americans do. And that's the truth. Like, every London artist that comes from there to here, they have a genuine, like, love for it, like I do. Like how we grew up listening to whoever, like Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, whoever, they listen to it the same way. So, yeah, it's just artists, people that like EB, that have appreciation for the music, that's what I love, because I love listening. I feel like he drops so much knowledge. Like, he makes me go and look for, I'm like, let me go look that up. And I might go get it on vinyl if it's a release for it. I'm like, yo, he's dropping some knowledge, and, you know, and I just soak it all in. And the thing is to keep sharing that information. You don't just, sometimes we get selfish with it and we're like, nah, I want to share this because you don't appreciate it. I get like that sometimes. I don't want to share some of it because I'm like, nah, because you're not hip to it. And I want you to criticize. I want you to just listen to it. So I get like that sometimes, but most of the time, you know, when I write articles, I try to get other people's opinions on it, and whatever feedback they get from them is fine. But yeah, just those. I feel like it's three things to look for in music: the lyrics, the instrumentation, and the vocal ability. To me, in terms of singers, that's why I'm so big on that. When I hear albums, I want to hear those three things, and I feel like if any of those things don't align, it's going to be a bad record. If it's a hot hook. And the beat is whack, I'm not listening to it, period. And if the beat is whack, if the beat is good and the lyrics are terrible, I still don't want to listen to it, because it's not, because I listen to it differently anyway, because if I can't play it, then I want to listen to it. That's the kind of listener, because if it's too easy, like Bruno Mars' album, I feel like it was trash. I didn't like it. It was like mediocre R&B to me, because I'm like, oh, this is too easy. I can play this, like, easy. Use some easy, like, 90s R&B chords. Like, it's too easy to play it. So I didn't care for it, because I felt like he's, like, making, you know, it's just the perfect time for him, because people are the nostalgia crazy. So it's perfect marketing for him. So that's why I never believed it, because he's like, and then y'all already went on a spill on him. Like, he got them cokehead eyes, and I don't trust him anyway. Like, y'all already know how I am. Like, he got them bulging cokehead eyes, and I don't trust people with goofy-looking eyes. That's just me.
EB, you see what I have to deal with?
I don't trust them.
EB, you see what I have to deal with? I have to rein Q in sometimes.
I love it.
No, but you know,
like, I'm telling a lie.
No,
like,
no,
he's a new person every album. Like, the first two albums, he was dressing like Frankie Lyman. Like, when you put the put the little bag down and clean your nose out and stop coming up with a new character every album. Next week he's gonna be playing Michael McDonald songs. The next album.
This is why I turn off my mic sometime.
Okay, I guess we can transition to, I'm getting out of control. So let me get to the top 10.
No,
we can get to the top 10 no singers.
No, honestly, Q-Lynn, honestly, Q-Lynn, honestly, don't change a thing.
You wouldn't be
Q-Lynn if I can't take that away. Okay, just kind of.
That's what I think. That's what I think of his music. He makes albums that he got a dirty mirror, and he just every line he just goes through like, oh, this would be a good record. Let me do this. Let me embody Zapp and Roger on this record. He do a lot of that on the record. He do a whole lot of that. Yeah. So I'm gonna also get into that.
Oh, Lord, the worst
singers.
Oh my God.
We gonna get into the top male singers though. Here's my top 10. We got about almost 30 minutes going in.
Oh my God.
Before the show ends, so we gonna get these male singers in. Oh. My top 10 is Marvin Gaye. It's a tie between Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder. Man, cause I have it's gonna be like 11 or 12, cause it's hard to fit them all in there. And some of these, I know a lot of y'all gonna be like, who? But y'all gotta do, this is where y'all gotta do your research, do your Googles. So, yep. Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder to me is like Todd, Eric Benet, Maxwell, Big Bub, I'm gonna drop some science on that one, but Rashawn Patterson, D'Angelo, Bobby Womack, Prince, all day, every day, Gerald LaVert, and Glenn Jones.
Okay.
Okay, EB.
I should have played that Big Bub song. I used to have his album on cassette tape too. I should have played that one, but I digress. Go ahead, EB.
All right, I'm gonna say Peebo Bryson, Frankie Beverly,
yes.
Glenn Jones, Marvin Jr. from the Dells. Cause I love his voice.
Woo! We just played a record last week too with the Dells, Stay in My Corner. Yes.
Yep. That one, he go off. Luther Vandross, Freddie Jackson. I can't mention Luther without mentioning Freddie. Is
right.
Right there. DJ Rogers, Teddy Pendergrass, Philip Wynn from the Spinners, cause his voice is out of control, and I think a lot of people don't even realize some of the things that he's done. And then, from the 90s, I got, R. Kelly and Casey Haley, right there together.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you got it. You know what? I didn't want to copy you on some of those things that you said, because those are in my EB, that's in my top 10, too. But Michael Jackson. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh yeah.
I don't care what anybody says.
Yep.
Always on pitch. Always.
Always.
And his performances, you never heard anybody say that he had a flawed performance. Michael Jackson. Billy Paul, Eddie Kendricks, Johnny Gill, Luther Vandross. Yeah. That's right. You guys sleeping on Johnny, right? Okay, Marvin, Teddy Pendergrass, oh my God, and Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if I had more time, and I would come up with more. And you know, hey, great singers out here, man. There's so much great, great, great music. So that's why I want to say, you guys, I love what you do, because you kind of bring it together, right? Because we listen to music, but nobody knows the history of music, where it came from, you know, anything like that. And you kind of bring this all to play. So, Q-Lynn Green, that's why this Soul Savage show is just an awesome, awesome, awesome segment.
Yep.
Yeah. You mentioned Glenn Jones. I know I had him on my list. Who had him on there? It was Eric Woodard.
I had him on there. Yeah.
His voice, oh, my God.
Out of this world.
Here I Go Again album.
And what about Billy Ocean too? What do you think about his voice?
Nah, I'll pass.
You don't like, oh my God. Okay, all right. Hey. Okay, all right. Hey, that, well, that's
I'm
interesting.
I'm talking about vocals that can give you, oh, and I can't, oh, I got little bonuses. I got to say Ronald Isley. I got to say Ronald Isley. I got to say Al Green. I got to say James Brown. And I got to say Joe, because people sleep on Joe. Joe's been making consistent albums for, like, for decades. So definitely got to mention them. Those are bonuses. But, Glenn Jones, his voice, I loved the, I think we're going to play one of those songs. I think it was I've Been Searching. That I remember I used to have that song on cassette tape. This is crazy. Like, all these songs, I can vividly remember, like, popping in the cassette tape. And I remember this is before the you could, like, mix a CD. Like, after, when I figured out you can mix a CD, I had mixing CDs with all kind of stuff, with Glenn Jones, with mix off, mid condition songs. Like, I would have like a whole mix CD and cassette. Oh yeah, mixtapes as well. The cassette tapes. Man, and that's a whole other thing. I think I'm going to do a show on that of a cassette tape appreciation, because this generation now, they make me sick. I remember I asked my niece, and I can't be mad at her because she's only 12, but I asked her what it was. I Google searched a cassette tape and she thought it was a radio. I was almost through everything.
Oh, wow.
But she's only 12, so she was born in like in the early 2000s, so I can't be mad, but still.
Right,
it's like,
gone.
It's those moments where it's like, I'm not that old, but it's like, wow, I'm really old, because cassette tapes, like, you literally had to be on the radio, like, you or a CD or something like that, and you would record it. And then if there's space in between the tape, like, you had to rewind that whole thing back and record the songs over again. Cause there'll be that space
be
in there
quick.
For like two, you had to be quick with it and hit that pause button and wait for the DJ to come on, and he got that long intro. I'm like, if you don't hurry up and play the song, like, I want to hear, Jade, walk away. You know, you're talking for 5 minutes. I don't want to hear you.
Hey, I have a question for both of you right now. Remember the group, The Stylistics? Who was the lead singer for The Stylistics? And what's ringing in my mind right now is that song, People Make the World Go Round. Who was the lead singer for The Stylistics?
Oh, man. I don't remember exactly which one was the lead singer. I know Russell Tompkins. Maybe he was the lead. I'm not sure if he was the main lead or not.
That was a bad group.
Definitely like one of the most popular ones, Russell Thompson.
Hey, we appreciate that. And we'll check it out, because I had that song queued up if you guys wanted to hear it. It just hit my mind right here, right now. But continue with your conversation, because what I find is fascinating, and I hope the audience finds it fascinating also, because of the quality of what you're bringing to this entire program. Thank you, Q-Lynn, and thank you, Evie.
No problem. But yeah, I was going, before you go to the next, I guess you can play that one and then the Glenn Jones, but you can do it back to back like we did the other two. But I was going to talk about Big Bub. If you don't know who Big Bub is, stop what you're doing right now, or you can just keep listening and just pull up Google on your laptop or tablet and look up the Timeless album. I used to have that whole album on cassette tape, and it jams all the way through. Album jams.
You're too funny.
And he's super underrated. He used to be on, used to be part of the R&B group. What was the name of that group? I didn't really, it was like Once Today. And it was only one song that I knew. I wasn't really into them. I think my dad, my uncles and my dad was into, they had his albums, but I didn't get into it until his solo album. But, Today, Why You Getting Funky on Me, that's the only one I really know like that. The rest of them, I think it's maybe two or three more I know, but his whole solo album, and also, there's so many different variations in music, like, not only, like, he's a great, like, singer, but he's a songwriter as well. Like, he wrote on a lot of Mary J. Blige's albums, on the My Life album. Who else he wrote for? Heavy D. He's part of that whole Uptown camp, writing for people in there. Like, Teddy Riley, working with him. Like, Big Bub he has a really low, tenor, more baritone. It's like a mix. He has a very low register. Yeah. It reminds me of a little bit of B.B. Winans a little bit. Like, if he would do gospel, he would sound just like him. But yeah, I love Big Bub. And Rahsaan Patterson, like, he's so underrated. I hate that like, he's not as big as he should be, because he should, like, everybody should know who he is, because he's amazing. I've seen him live, like, multiple times, and he's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
He just, and then he'll riff, like, he'll play with the song, like, his classics, like, Can We Wait, and he'll just play with it, like, he'll do the verses, and then, like, the last minute to the song, like, after going to the vamp, he'll just sit there and ad-lib, like, doing all these crazy rhymes. I'm like, and I just enjoy it. Like, those are one of the people you can see live. Like, you can pay for the album and then see him live, like, cause he's gonna give you a show every time. And he just gives you vocals.
Every time.
And D'Angelo, I said D'Angelo cause he's just like, he comes from I was gonna ask you, what's your Mount Rushmore's of music?
Ooh. Ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy. And you know, give us a little time on that, Q-Lan. I tell you what, if you want to hear some D'Angelo, I have D'Angelo queued up right now.
Yeah, you can play that, and then
we can do that, and then come back, I don't know about, EB, he might be ready, okay? But when you're talking about the Mount Rushmore, now what are you talking about, like, male or female?
I just throw all these musical terms out there. It's just like creative ways of saying, like, what's the ones that matter, like, in terms of, like, the... I love the word EB said. He said it on Twitter. He was giving appreciation. He said, black architects. I love that. I use musical architects.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
That's what I mean.
But
do you have some... What's yours, EB, the Mount Rushmore's of music?
Probably Curtis Mayfield, Rick James.
Oh, my goodness.
Aretha Franklin, and I couldn't even tell you a fourth one off the top of my head.
I got my four. I gotta go with Sly Stone.
Oh yeah.
Roger Troutman.
Mm-hmm.
Prince and Rick James. Those are my four.
Because
they all fall in line with Sly. It all starts with Sly.
Wow.
And then, in terms of being an all-around musician, in terms of being the singer, being the musician, songwriter, all those three right there, they encompass all of that. And then with this musical tree, they have branches, and those branches, why I said D'Angelo, because he's cut from that same call, as well as Raphael Sadiq. But I put him in a whole category. He's a great singer. But I put him more, he's like such like a top-notch producer and musician.
Right.
Like, that's him for me, like with Babyface as well. Like, they're great singers, but I exclusively put them in producer, songwriter, like the best, period, in that lane. Because it's different. But they're still in that branch of Sly Stone and Prince and all that, but it's just different branches, you know what I mean, of songwriters and musicians. So I put Babyface and they get their own special category. I got to do a whole segment on that. But yeah, well, if you want to, we go to break and then get back into it and talk some more about some singers.
Not before I give you my top four.
Okay. Oh, you said you had to think about it.
Well,
you come back in the break with it.
Well,
you take it so long.
No. That's
why. You put that Kanye down and talk about it.
Sitting there
drinking on the job. Q-Lan. Got a half pint of Hennessy. You finish it.
Hey, Q-Lan, that's slander. That's slander.
Hey, when you say it, I'm just saying what you said. You said that you didn't have yours yet. Me and Eric had ours. We waiting on you.
That's
and
right.
You like, oh, I got mine. You gonna jump in that glass like, oh,
no,
I got
no,
mine
that's,
now.
That's why I let you guys go first. Okay. I'm ready right now.
What's your four then? What's your Mount Rushmore?
Okay.
Bro?
This is our Mount
Put
Rushmore.
Put the drink down and tell me what it is.
I love you, Q-Lan. Anyway, Michael Jackson. Luther Vandross. I'm surprised. How in the world can you have a Mount Rushmore without Luther? He had the baddest, the finest, the coolest on time. And, you know, music and stuff like that. One of the best male vocalists ever.
And I forgot to talk about his background vocals. For
oh
David
my
Bowie.
God. Oh, they were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
And the
He's killing.
And the orchestra that was behind him. Those, God, are you killing me? And then I've got to go with Rick James. And then, we're leaving out Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I never forget him, but yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying in terms of, they all come from that branch, but yeah.
And it's all
Stevie
cool.
Wonder. It's so hard. It's so hard, but yeah.
That was a great, great question. Because, if we rethink it, then how many that you would like to have in the top four that you can't just scramble? I mean, if you only have four spaces, I mean, good gracious. My goodness.
Yeah,
but anyway, hey, we'll come back after the break, but this has been a great show. This is the Soul Savage Show with Q Lynn Green and EB. And I'm just a sidekick hanging out, having a great time. I hope you are too. This is The Buzz. Download that app. Tell your friends about it. IMG2. IMG, the number two. Or you can go directly to our website. Drop us a line at studiow.buzz. You can also reach us at studiow.buzz@gmail.com. Hey, welcome back. This is Q-Lynn Green and the Soul Savvy Show. Special guest EB. I hope you guys are enjoying this program. Hey, Q-Lynn, D'Angelo, feel like making love. Okay.
You know what? This is a perfect transition because I know this is a popular opinion, but I don't really care for it. And we're going to get into the list. We're going to do the next list we're going to do is the top 10 worst singers. We're going to name the best. We're going to get into the worst. And I'm not putting her in this list, but I don't really care for her. But Roberta Flack, this is a rendition of her song, and I like this version better than hers. And Roberta, the duet with albums with Dottie Hathaway is cool, but I don't really care for her. I like her renditions more than her records. But yeah, before we get to the top 10, we gonna name, I forgot to name the best groups, the best singers in groups. And to me, Kevron Edmonds is one of my favorite. Like, I want to put him the top 10 of the solo singers, like people that had solo records. But Kevron had a solo record album too, but in terms of groups, like he's like the male version of Toni Braxton to me. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was just how Babyface wrote the record, but he sounds just like Toni Braxton to me. I don't know what it is.
They do. They sound just alike.
And Philip Bailey from Earth, Wind & Fire, he's one of my favorites from groups. That falsetto is crazy. Asia from Kendrick the Family Show, her alto range is crazy. Who else? Kenny Green from Intro, crazy. But yeah, those are my favorite singers from groups. And now we had the last 15 minutes of the show, and I can already feel just from this, this is the part of the show. I'm sorry to all the Christian listeners. I know Will was trying to make this more hospitable, but y'all know how I am. We get to the end of the show, and I already feel I'm going to be a heathen. So this is a disclaimer for all the listeners out there from various parts of the world. This is where the show is getting to, you know how I am. But here we go.
Lock up the children.
Yes. Put the children up. I may or may not cuss. I don't know how my spirit feels. I don't know. It might keep it clean. I don't know. But the top 10 worst singers. I'm very opinionated about this. And I know some of y'all listen to these artists and I don't care. This is how I feel. I'm just going to name them off the top of my head. Keisha Cole? Nope. Kay Michelle? Nope. Who else? Trying to think of some more female singers I don't like. Who else? I can't think of any more. I know I have some more. I should have wrote them down, but yeah. So Keisha Cole and Kay Michelle, they try to be in the lineage of Mary J. Blige, but it's like, nah. I can't believe Keisha Cole did a whole album off key. Like, that's still, I don't understand how that happened. How did we let she came in when music was at its worst and it was absolutely at the worst and y'all let that happen. I'm still mad at y'all for letting this happen. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, why? She did a song called Love and she was off key the whole time. Like, I'm trying to figure out who was in the listening session and like, didn't tell her to, she did that whole song without the music on blast to me. You know how, like, sometimes when you got the music up so loud, you can't hear yourself? I feel like she did that the whole time in the studio when she did her first album. It is awful. And then I remember she had her reality show on, and she was having a studio session, and somebody was trying to check her and put her and try to tell her how to sing a song. She's like, oh, no, I don't sing in that. I'm like, girl, you need to find a key or something because you... I don't know, where are you at? She was really mad because the guy was trying to tell her how to sing. And then I think she did it on Diddy's show as well. Diddy, when she was on, what was it, Last Train to Paris album with him? It was like a while back, like.
Oh, yeah,
with
the
that
Press
album.
Play
album. Yeah, oh, that's what it was, Press Play. And he was trying to tell her, and she's being so dumb. I'm like, girl, like, you act like you is like Mariah Carey up in here. Like, you, the notes is left. Like, they went out, they went and took a bus route. Like, you... Who knows is out there, so I don't know why she thought, and she still thinks she can sing. I'm like, this is really happening. And then Kay Michelle, like, I knew from the Love & Hip Hop show that she had that quality to where I felt like, oh, yeah, they're going to try to get her a record deal. I felt like out of anybody on that show, I felt like, oh, she's going to get a record deal. And, yeah, she got a record deal, but someone, her music, she another one that's feeling herself. I'm like, girl, like, you off key too. Like, you just be hollering. Like, I don't, oh, and just speaking of hollering, Jennifer Hudson, yeah. I'm not saying she's the worst, but, I mean, in terms of that, to me, singing is about, vocal placement. And just because you can do certain notes don't mean you can do it all the time and that it sounds good. And she's one of those artists that I feel, or singers that she tries to show off all the time and I don't like it. And I remember when I interviewed Winter Harris, last year and we was doing the BET Awards review and I didn't like her rendition of Purple Rain. I almost wanted to fight her. Like, I didn't like that. Like, I wish Fantasia would have sung that. Like, cause she would have had, it would have been tithes and offering being passed in the audience if she would have sung. Cause I've heard her sing that and she killed it. And Jennifer just went up there hollering. And then what made me more, but pissed me off about that was that she sung over the guitar solo. You don't ever do that. And she sung over. I was ready to fight. At that point, I was like, if you don't shut your hollering ass up, I don't want to hear that. You yelling. Like, I call her Jennifer Hollering Hudson. That's what I call her. Cause she don't be nothing but holler to me. I don't care for her voice. Alicia Keys is another one. Like, she should have kept singing in A minor. I heard somebody say that on Twitter. That is a great joke. Somebody said she, like, after the last three albums, I was good on her. Like, it's like, all right, now you just, I think she took mushrooms or something. Cause she on a whole other, I don't even think it's medicinal. I feel like she on some mushrooms or something. Cause she just be acting weird. I'm like, what's going on with you? But yeah, Alicia Keys, them, and then somebody else said that she ain't been right since she took that woman's band. I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, that is kind of true. I'm like, it's a little factor, man. But, who else, what's the song, singers y'all don't like? Female singers that y'all don't think can sing?
Honestly, I was drawing a blank until you said Alicia Keys. I have certain songs that I like. But overall, it's a no for me. I've never listened to K. Michelle, so I have no idea.
Well, I heard her perform a song on BET when I was watching. I think it was Soul Train, and she did a song. The production was cool, but her voice, she was off pitch. I'm like, you can't sing. I'm like, I can't deal with this. You sound like Keisha Cole. Like, Keisha Cole is a 40, and you are a... What's that other malt liquor? The one, can't think of the name of it, but she's the off brand of 40 ounces of music. Her voice is terrible. But yeah, I can't think of any more female singers I don't care for. Oh yeah, that new girl. What's her name? Jhené Echo. What's her name?
Oh, I know Jhené. What you're talking about. I've never listened to
I don't know before. If I'm saying it right. But yeah, somebody said that she's one of the best soul singers, and I was ready to fight. I'm like, I want to say the F word, but I was like, are you serious right now? I was like, how is she a soul singer? I'm like, what is it? She got a ghost or something we don't know about? Because what soul is you talking about?
Right.
And that's that trap soul crap. I don't like that. That's boring to me. It's not musical. It's like. None of the trap songs I like is boring. It's like, what's the dude's name? We get to male singers. I know way more male singers I don't like than female. Male singers, that guy, I don't know none of these kids' names. The one with the baseball caps that be wearing them. The one they call Trap Soul that started it. What's his name? I don't like him. I don't like his voice. What's his name? It's losing me.
I don't even know.
It's one of those, the ones that was, that talk about he's depressed all the time and that he gotta have sex to get over it or something. I don't know. One of the antidepressant. I'm trying to think. But yeah, somebody that's on that vein of that as well is Saturday and Sunday. I don't like that guy. That's the top worst singer ever to me. Top worst singer. Somebody had the nerve. These mainstream publications and then people on the internet talking about he the next Michael Jackson. I was like, if Michael Jackson got shot in the throat, maybe, like, what are you talking about? Probably like the next Michael Jackson.
Oh, my
goodness.
He is awful.
Oh, my goodness. I don't like his music. Saturday and Sunday, his music. Yes, I'm calling him Saturday and Sunday, because why is your name The Weeknd? Like, why is he named after a day of the week? Like, no, that's not cute. I don't like the name, and I don't like his voice. I don't like none of his music. Who else? Oh, yeah, I'm going to take this back. I'll be sure. He's about... Yeah, nope.
Yep.
Can't get with it.
I agree.
And can I'm sure it's awful.
Can I throw a few in there and go back a little bit further? Cher. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, we're talking about black. We ain't talking about the Caucasian artist.
Okay, you just said worst ever. I agree, though.
Concur with that. But, yeah, okay. We got to stay on the black artist.
Donna Summer.
What? Now we got to fight now. You went too far now. I was with you till you said that.
Donna Summer. Yep. Never liked her.
I can't agree. I can't co-sign that. I'm going to find some records where she can sing, and you're going to be like, yep, this is it. Because I feel like you just was getting with the singles, with the 12-inch records. You got to get to the album.
Yeah.
Well,
you better pull it up. You better pull it up. I haven't heard it yet. Donna Summer. Nope.
I can't agree with that.
Good. I love it. This is really good stuff.
We're getting into the last minutes of the show. And so I named a few of them. There's probably some that's going to come to me later on tonight. I know it's going to come to me. Those are a few. We might do a part two to that, the worst thing is, because I know some more. I just can't think of some more. But we have this. I just started this last week, EB, of it's this segment I do on the show now. I'm doing with the guests. It's called What Is Wrong With You Game. It's pretty fun. We had fun with it last week, but I'm gonna add some new to it. Usually, I have a thing now. I'm probably gonna make y'all drink shots or something. So if you got some liquor on you or something like that, if there's something wrong with you, if you lose this game, then you just need to get a shot of alcohol or something, or stub your foot against the bedroom or something. I don't know, but I gotta figure out the clauses of if you lose the game. But we're gonna start the game. It's called What Is Wrong With You. Will played last week, but I'm just going to ask.
And I won, too.
Yeah, he won. He beat Catrice that was on. She's a host on the Braxton Beck Show and the Thursday night show. So, okay, I'm going to ask you this because I know you can get with it. And I'm going to add some stuff in there to be funny. But I'm just going to start it off like this. Okay, Marvin Gaye versus Teddy Pendergrass.
Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so goodness. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you on that one? Okay, we go to the next one. The next one is The Whispers versus OJs.
I'm taking The Whispers.
Okay, so nothing's wrong with you. You got that one? You got one right? Okay. The next one, this is the specific right here. This is Michael Jackson, so... I know you're gonna get this right, cause I can already tell you're gonna get this one right. I ain't been questioning this.
Who are you talking to me?
No, or EB. This is all EB right here. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Oh, Off the Wall.
See, you talking right. Ain't nothing wrong with him on that one. I knew it. Okay, this one, Aretha or Patty?
Aretha.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh, I'm taking Patty.
I could have sworn you were going to say Patty. I'm shocked. Are you serious?
Aretha.
Yep.
Ooh, ooh.
Well, Kulin, there's an argument to be made there.
There is an argument to be made
there. You know, and Catrice said Aretha last show. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I thought everybody was Patty over here.
I love Patty.
We're going to keep going. Earth, Wind, and Fire... Or Ohio Players.
Ohio Players.
Ooh, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Right. Okay. Nothing's wrong. Okay.
Hold it, Katrina. Hold it. A woman, you're telling me that you think that Ohio Players is a better group than Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Oh, and that's a trick question because you're supposed to say both. But you get bonus points.
There's no both. Earth, Wind, and Fire, hands down.
You can say both. Well, I made the rules up, okay? If you get these right, if you say it how I'm supposed to say it, if you say it how I want it, you get both right, and you get the point.
This is rigged.
Okay. No, it's not rigged. Okay. The next one is Rick James or Prince?
Rick James.
I'm taking Rick James
talking
too.
Right. You would have got bonus if you said both, but you can get with, I can get with that.
That's right.
Okay, this one I know you can get with. I know you can get with this one. I hope you talk right on this one. Babyface or Brian McKnight?
Ooh.
Babyface.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking right now. That's what it is. Okay, this is the last one because we at the end of the show. This is the last one. This is very important. So this is a very important one right here. Okay, who do you think had the best cope out of Mary J. Blige or Faith Evans?
Mary.
Yes, you would have got bonus if you said Whitney Houston, because I feel like she had better out of all two of them. So we are at the end of the Soul Savage Radio Show.
Oh.
That was What Is Wrong With You game, and
I love it.
That nothing is wrong with my man EB. Nothing's wrong with him. There's a couple of them. The Patty one is questionable, but it's all right. He's talking. You got one wrong, maybe two wrong, but it was a good list. You definitely answered right on the coke thing because I was hoping you said Mary because I was like, she had the fresh cut. I know it. Right off the break, I already know. All right, we got to end the show. You can follow me at Q-Lane Green on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, the website's page. I also added some new posts today. You go on soulsavage.com and check those out. Also, check out my Prince Appreciation post from last year. Rest on to him. I can't even accept it now. I got to take that back because he went to Jupiter or something. He went to Mars. I'm not accepting that. Like he's chilling in Mars or something. But check out that appreciation post on soulsavage.com. Also, the Facebook Soul Savage and Twitter. I don't have an Instagram for it yet, but I'll probably just stick with Facebook and Twitter because I'm by myself, so I can't operate all this stuff at the same time. But Eric, let them know where they can reach you at on social media.
All social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, EB for Prez, EB the number 4, and PREZ.
There we go. So, we have a Savvy and Heathen talk we do. The Heathen talk is don't buy any more Keisha Cole records, and if somebody buys you, throw it in the trash. That's my Heathen talk. EB, you got a Savvy or a Heathen talk? Just say whatever. You can say whatever you want to.
Hey, don't eat egg salad if you plan on riding the bus.
There we go. Will, it's a great show. Thank you for tuning in to Soul Savage Radio. We'll be back every Friday.
I thoroughly.
5 Pacific time.
I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it.
I appreciate you, man. Eric. I appreciate you.
Hey, Eric.
It's been a pleasure.
It's a great show.
Eric, a.k.a. EB. I haven't laughed so hard in a while. And it's a great show. It's informative. Great fun. Q-Lane Green. You're hilarious. You're off the chain, girl. Anyway, I love you. You are the Heathen of the buzz. I'm telling you, this has been so much fun.
Y'all gotta pray for me, y'all. I'm in the pastor prayer. Y'all gotta put me on the prayer list every Sunday morning. Because I need help.
And seriously, folks, please do that. Please do that. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Studio W the Buzz. This was a Soul Savage show. It's so much fun, so much fun. People make the world go around. This is Studio W the Buzz. Tell your friends about it. Download the app, IMG2. Go to a website, studiow.buzz.
Oh, why? Because they want more pay. Buses on strike, wanna raise in fares. rocking in their easy chairs on a fat cigar without a care. But that's what makes the world go round, the ups and downs a carousel. Changing people sails around, go underground, young man.
baby. Hey, the Suspenders, could it be? Could it be the Bony Love? Coming up right after this song, Braxton's Back. It's a rebroadcast, but you don't want to miss it.